Amen. We're turning to Genesis chapter 1, and with God's word before us, let's bow just together in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that we have God's precious word before us. We thank Thee we have the freedom and the liberty to take Thy precious word and to preach the word of the living God. And we ask Thee to bless Thy word to each one of our hearts this morning. We pray for those in other countries across the world that have not this privilege even that we have at this time. And we ask Thee, O gracious God, that Thou wouldest come and bless them today and help them and protect them, those that are in prison for the preaching of the gospel and those that have not the liberty. We pray that You will look after them and bless them and help them. We ask Thee now that You will come and that You will write Thy word upon each one of our hearts. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. What I want to try to do this morning is to speak upon creation or evolution, what the Bible teaches. In the days in which we live, many are the advances that have been made in education, in science, in medicine, in warfare and space travel, plus the worldwide knowledge that we have on the computers at the press of a button. Anything you don't know now, you go to your iPad or your phone or your computer and you put it in and you get an answer up right away. I'm not saying it's always the right answer, but at least it's there. And what a worldwide opportunity there is even on the internet for the preaching of the gospel. The thirst for knowledge has led to men in the past, such as Charles Darwin, questioning the Genesis account of creation. Ernest Mayr wrote in 1978, "Man's worldview is dominated by the knowledge that the universe, the stars, and all living things evolved through a long period of history that was not foreordained or programmed. The theory of evolution through natural selection, in other words, the world was not created, but has evolved over millions of years. Something in the past, like a big bang, took place to start the process of evolution. They don't know how, they don't know why, and they don't know when this took place. Yet it is taught as a fact in most of our schools today, and our children are expected to believe this theory." Of course, I've seen there the other day where the Pope doesn't agree either with the scriptures. He says that God didn't wave a magic wand and everything started off as it's taught in the book of Genesis. So he's off the rails as well as what these most of these scientists are. But following on from the theory of our world comes this fact that we are to believe that man evolved from an ape-like creature. They tell us that the fossils of dinosaurs prove that the world is millions of years old, and they are searching for the missing link, the skeleton, half man, half ape, to prove the theory of evolution. As we have read this morning, the Genesis account of creation, then you will realize it is totally contrary to evolution. Who do you believe this morning? Do you believe God and His word, or do you believe man and His word? Do you believe this morning in creation as it is taught in these verses that we read together, or do you believe in evolution? Is evolution a scientific fact. No, it is just a theory, just a very dangerous theory. Why are we expected to accept evolution? Why is it taught to our children and young people? I believe it is one of the false religions of the devil. The devil always attacks the Word of God, trying to discredit the Bible and what the Bible teaches. In Genesis 3 and 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The object of the devil is to destroy man's confidence in or pervert God's precious word. The end result in the case of Eve was the entrance of sin and death and all the sorrow and heartbreak that has followed. Was the judgment of God upon Adam and Eve's sin. The end result of the theory of evolution is the destruction of the minds of our children regarding the authority of God, the necessity of salvation, the escape of the punishment for sin and hell with the devil forever. And if the devil can destroy the authority of the book of Genesis, he destroys the authority of the whole Bible that follows on. Genesis teaches, as we have read, the beginning of the heaven and the earth, the beginning of man and animals, the beginning of marriage, the beginning of sin. But there's also the promise of a Savior from sin, because in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The beginning of every doctrine can be traced back to the book of Genesis. Destroy Genesis as fact, and you destroy, as we said, the whole Bible. If we believe in creation, we believe in the laws of God that are established by God. There's a meaning of life. There are standards for you and I to keep. And there is marriage bond that he has beheld. If we believe in evolution, we believe in the lawlessness that's in the world today. We believe in abortion, we believe in pornography, we believe in homosexuality and so on. All the sins follow on from that belief. And what a tremendous thing it is when we believe the creation story. You know, whenever I saw the a crowd that in Dublin cheering after the abortion result was announced, and them jumping with joy at destroying one of God's standards, I thought to myself, there's a day coming when you will stand before the great white throne judgment, and you'll not be jumping and laughing, because you'll stand there to be judged for going against God's law if you do not repent of it. If you accept and believe in God as creator, then you accept there are laws, since he is the lawgiver. Life takes on meaning. Everything is done by the law, brings an orderly society. And if you reject God and replace him with other belief, that puts everything down to chance. There is no basis for right or for wrong. People will just write their own rules. The restraint of the law of God is gone. Hence, crime and fighting and immorality and all that leads to the breakdown of society that we are seeing today, not just in our own land, but right across the world. If the devil can attack and destroy the foundation of a creation, then he destroys not only the quality of life on earth, but he destroys the hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. As the creation foundation is being destroyed, we need to wake up to what is happening and begin to raise against the foundation of creation as it is taught in the Bible. We need to stand for what the Bible teaches of the foundation of creation. But I want us to look at what the Bible teaches regarding creation as we find it in the book of Genesis. The word Genesis means origin. The book of Genesis gives the only true and reliable account of the universe and of life. Genesis is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And in 2 Peter 1 and the verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is not man's ideas, but it's God's law. And it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when we come to the account of creation in the book of Genesis, we come to the account of creation as given by the Creator, the one who was there when it all happened. No evolutionist was there when the earth was formed. So all he has to build his theory on is the present state of the world and the fossils that have been preserved. Genesis 1 and the verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. This is the foundational verse of the Bible. And it's very, very simple. A statement to be either accepted or rejected, either believed or disbelieved. Sometimes people will say, who was God? Where did God come from? And they're questions that they often ask, as they don't believe the Bible to be the Word of God. In Revelation 1, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. In Psalm 90 in the verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. There is no time in eternity. It's only time in this world of ours. Another question that people will ask, why did God create the world? In Psalm 19 and verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens and the earth and all of creation were for the glory of God. And you know, that is why God came and created this world. It was for his glory. And that's all we need to know. And in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The Almighty, the all-powerful God of eternity past called into existence space, mass, time, and the universe. And you know, whenever we talk about that, the next thing that comes up, when did this take place? Evolution has tell us the origin of modern man began 3 million years before Christ. I was reading somewhere in some magazine or book or whatever it was, and some boy, he said it was 400 million years from the Big Bang had happened. Archbishop James Usher, who lived 1581 to 1655, computed the date of creation as 4,004 years before Christ. Many other Bible students have calculated the chronology of the Bible, and they find it varies from the Jewish at 3,760 years, Luther 3,961, a man called Hales, the same date, same number of years, 3,961. So we can be sure the creation of man is under 10,000 years. Before Christ, good possibility, only 5,000 years before Christ, plus 2018 that we're in today. The creation of the universe took place 5 days previous, five literal days before the creation of man. Consequently, the account of the history of the earth is fixed at several thousand years, not several million or billion, as the evolutionist would have us believe. Now, of course, there are some Bible commentators that believe what is known as the gap theory. Thomas Chalmers was one of them, a godly man. The Scofield Bible notes are of the same, and many, many others. They will tell you that a period of billions of years was between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 2. And that this accounts for the geologists dating the fossil record at millions of years. And so they accept that there was life on the earth before the six-day creation. And you know, a great destruction took place. They'll tell you to leave the earth without form and void. Hence the fossil record. But of course, God's word destroys this view. In Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. No life or death before Adam's death came, by the judgment of God on Adam's sin. No sin, no death. Let me emphasize this morning, we have to believe what this book says. And this gap theory that some even good Christian people, they use this gap theory to give credence to evolution, help to fit science into the Bible. Well, that is what you don't do. Fit science into the Bible. You take the Bible and you believe what the Bible teaches, and you forget about what science is trying to distort if it doesn't agree with the Bible. And some of these saved preachers, why do they do it? Because they want to be popular, and they want to be, as it were, in with all this modern knowledge that is about. God created out of nothing the heaven and the earth according to his will. And then over six normal days, he divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5, the evening and the morning were the first day. And for 6 days, God moved on the face of the earth. Vegetation, animals, sun and moon. And then, as we read, on the seventh day, God rested. What a tremendous chapter of God's precious word that we have before us. Is it any wonder that today, those who do not want God to rule over them, they're anxious to destroy the very existence of God? Our parents, Sunday school teachers, ministers all need to realize what is happening and begin to counteract this false religion from the devil by teaching our family the true account of creation. We have in verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And then in verse 13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And then we go down to verse 19, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God created the two lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And in verse 31 of that last verse of the chapter, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. What a tremendous God we have, who created this world by the word of his power, out of nothing. And that is the God that you and I come here this morning to worship. The God who created everything that you see around you today. Sometimes then there are questions that are raised by those who don't want to believe the creation story. And they'll say to you, what happened to the dinosaurs? Well, I believe that before the flood, man and dinosaurs lived together on our earth. They went into the ark, and after the flood, they became extinct along with many other animals. Maybe yet there's some people hoping that some of them will turn up somewhere in the world, but I don't think that they will. And our children are conditioned to dinosaurs on TV so that when they go to school, they are ready to believe they are millions of years old, as the textbooks say. And you know, that is what the garbage that comes out of the modern day TV. And it's there for a purpose. And it's a purpose to destroy the minds of the children. And you know, a lot of the garbage that comes from the TVs, parents should not allow their children to watch it, because it is there by the devil to plant in their minds the seeds that are contrary to the word of God. Then there are others will say, where did Cain get his wife? Well, you know, somebody said that one time, and a man said, you mind your own business and never worry where a man gets his wife from. But you know, whenever we think of Cain get his wife, the Bible teaches that all men descended from Adam and Eve. Thus, there had to be intermarriage between brother and sister. The early days, the race was pure. But as time went on, problems arose, so God's law was established not to marry close relatives. In Genesis 5 and 4, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. That's where Cain got his wife. There is no problem. And you know, there is people today, and they come out with all sorts of things. It's like, I remember I was doing the doors in Bangor, in a big housing estate for a mission we had in the church in Bangor, and I couldn't understand it. I didn't realize at the time, but it's run by two paramilitary groups, and they are at each other's throats. And I had arrived in and was starting going round the doors with the invitations, and the next thing, these three men stopped me. What are you doing here? They thought I was there maybe trying to sell drugs. But I said, I'm here inviting you to a gospel mission. One man said, that is nonsense, he says. There's nobody ever has come back to tell us what's beyond when you die. And I said, now look, If I told you today that I had come back from hell, where would you send me to? And he looked at me and the other man laughed. I said, you'd be sending me to Purdiesburn because you would think my head was gone. I said, you believe what the Bible teaches. And I said, if you don't repent of your sin, you're not going to get to heaven. I was went on round the park later on, and the next thing I heard this voice and shouting from the chimney top. And he says, do you see how high up I am now? Well, I said, I'll tell you one thing. That's as near to heaven as you're ever going to get unless you come and repent and be born again into God's family. And we get that from people. People have their own ideas. What about Piltdown Man? When I was in school, Piltdown Man was the thing that was in the books then. It was based on the jawbone and part of a skull that was found in 1912 and declared to be 5 million years old. But you know, in 1950, it was declared a hoax. Someone had covered it with chemicals to take on an old appearance. The fraud and the scam of the devil was evidence in the Piltdown Man. Then there's others will say, where did the waters go after the flood? And they think they've got you again. In Psalm 104, verse 6, thou coverest it with the deep, as with a garment the waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. God set a boundary so that this same water will never again cover the earth. Believe the Bible to be true. Believe creation according to Genesis 1 and 2. The fall of man, God's judgment upon sin in the chapter 3. We must realize that we are sinners. Do you realize this morning, sitting in this church, that you're a sinner? That you were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, separated from God by your sin? That you need forgiveness for your sins? And that you need the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that can forgive your sins, because he came into this world to do what you and I could not do, was to make us acceptable to God. We need the new birth experience. I want to ask you this morning, have you been born again? Are you saved? Have you been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for heaven? Because if you're not, the day that you die and leave this scene of time, you will go out into God's eternity. And you will be cast into the lake of fire forever. I trust that if you're not saved this morning, maybe you've come to this church, you've come through the Sunday school. All our churches, there's a lot of young people have come through the Sunday school and the Bible classes. A lot of them have gone out and never come to church now. Some do, and they're still not saved. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, then I ask you, will you not come and realize that the Bible is true, that the Bible teaches us creation, and it also teaches us the fall of man into sin, and it teaches us the forgiveness we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe the Bible version of creation? I trust that you do. I remember a man telling me when he was at university, he was doing his exams, and he answered all the questions the way that they required them to be answered. And then at the bottom of the page, he wrote, "Of course, I don't believe a word of this." And he got his degree. In fact, he's a doctor. I'm not telling you, young person, to do that, because you could end up and maybe not get, in this day and age, your degree if you did that. But he did it, and he stood up for what he believed to be right. Let us in these days forget about the nonsense that man brings up, and let us believe what this book teaches, because that's all that matters today. And I trust that you will believe, and that you do believe in the creation, that God created this world by the word of his power. Let's bow together in prayer, please.